This is a
Back to the Future.
This is a thing for me and Mick here. We're a big Huey Lewis.
Dude,
the News
I love Huey too. Lewis the News. I'm sorry I missed him at Moondance Jam a few years ago.
Yeah, me too.
All right, welcome to part two of the Barrel Age series.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Ray Parker Jr. fucking stole it.
Can you mute his mic?
Oh, that's great.
That's a true story. Ray Parker Jr. got fucking sued for stealing the bass line for a Want a New Drug for Ghostbusters.
Really?
Suck on that, fuck boys.
Interesting. All right, well, this is part two, Barrel Age series. This is Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast on adult beverages. I'm your neighbor, Knox, and with me...
I'm Childish. Big Earn's here.
I'm Gambino. I'm Chris. I'm also here.
Tori.
McLean.com.
And we are all back for part two of this Barrel Age series. So we're going to jump right into it. The sixth question I asked, I think I might have jumbled this with Aaron. I think the question got answered in another segment, but the sixth question was, have you ever had to dump any barrels? So let's go see what Tom had to say.
I feel like that's a euphemism.
So fun question. Have you ever had to dump any barrels, Tom?
Actually, I mean, I wish I had a cooler story, but we've never dumped a barrel. So I know that's not like exciting or anything, but I'm trying to think. I mean, we've done a couple four festival barrels that were actually like inoculated with like crazy, like Brettanomyces and Saccharomyces, like crazy bacteria that you don't want to touch any of your brewing equipment. And we bought a siphon one time and then went into kegs and then immediately sent those kegs back to the, like our leasing company and just didn't put them through any of our equipment. But that would be the only thing that I could think of dumping. Like, I don't think we've ever actually dumped that's a lie. I think we had one batch or one barrel's worth of Nightman that was only half full. Cause you know, you're starting with, you kind of have to guess on, you have a good idea of what volume you have in your tank, but you kind of have to, I mean, these are weird numbered. It's like 53 gallons is in a bourbon barrel. Well, that's kind of an odd number. So you're going to end up either like you plan ahead and have some other stout wort that you just have sitting around, or stout beer that you have sitting around, and then you can put that on to top it off. Or so this particular Nightman was a second use Jack Daniel's barrels, which now we don't do anymore because it's just a pain in the ass to have this barrel and it's probably really leaky if you don't fill it right away, for example, or whatever. So it was a second run Jack Daniel's barrels that was like 2/3 full or a half full. And we just didn't like the flavor off of it. I think it probably with that, all that headspace got pretty oxidized and just kind of cardboardy and nothing infected or anything like that. So.
Well, that's good. Nothing infected.
No.
That's always a bonus.
No kidding.
The next question I asked both Aaron and Tom was, what style is best suited for barrel aging? And let's see what Mr. Aaron had to say.
Imperial stouts are great. We also love Belgian stuff, like...
The quads?
Quad, yeah. One of my favorites is our quad with Brettanomyces aged in a bourbon barrel. But those beers just don't sell as well as the Imperial Stouts. We get to do what we want to some extent, but it's also a business and we get to do this because people buy this beer and just not as many people buy those beers.
Not the super experimental stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's not even that experimental. It's just really traditional and it's not sexy and cool right now. So we'll do it every now and then, like barley wine. Oh man, we did a ton of barley. We packaged a ton of barley wine bottles recently and by ton is kind of subjective. It's just like a lot of barley wine isn't the same as a lot of fruited sour or a lot of New England IPA. No, it's
barley wine moves a little slower.
Yeah, barley wine moves way slower. So it's another one of those that's kind of a pet project for us. We really like we have a barley wine recipe that we really like and like it barrel aged. And so
I have to admit, I like your barley wine as well. Very much so.
Thank you.
And I think we liked his barley wine as well.
Well, I gave him bigger numbers than I thought I would. They earned it though.
For sure. And let's see what Tom had to say about barrel aging. What style?
So I guess there's a lot of styles that are suited for it. Best suited.
one of our new brewers, Logan, is a everything barrel guy, and he will tell you you can barrel age absolutely anything. And I agree with him. I think that typically you're going to look at more high ABV stuff or things that have a lot of residual sugar that can stand up to the aggressiveness of the barrel, like the oak and the spirit that's already in there. But you can age whatever you want. I think high ABV makes sense too, just from a production standpoint. I think that there's a reason why all these breweries are doing imperial barrel aged imperial stouts is because you charge more for them. Like they cost more money because they cost more to make, because they sit long in the barrels, and then it makes sense that you can charge that for them. Where like I barrel aged a 5% pale ale in a barrel with some sour culture, I couldn't. Like, no one's going to be super excited about that. And it sat for literally 12 months in these barrels. And it may be awesome to us, but, like, is anyone going to care kind of thing? But if you're doing it just for, like, fun, I mean, yeah, Logan, he's got a bunch of just stuff at home that he just barrel ages on his own. And it's crazy good and fun. And, like, red ales, let's see, Belgian ales, wits. Like, literally, the sky's the limit for whatever you want to do on that. But for production level, I think anything high ABV, specifically stouts and that kind of stuff, definitely more preferred.
I would agree. I like a lot of the stouts and porters that are barrel aged. But after being at Atypical and trying those weird fermented sours and stuff, I think...
Dude, those are fucking incredible. I mean, it was crazy what they were doing.
Yeah, and we're gonna try some weird, funky beers on our third part of this episode.
Before we go into that, he was talking about somebody just barrel aging at their house.
Yeah, Logan,
right? Logan doing it, and I never even thought about it. We've got one of those little fucking whiskey barrels that are charred. Tori, yep. I know you had sent me a picture. You just got one as well.
Yeah, I haven't fucked with it yet, but
we keep going. What whiskey do we put in there? Well, when we could be like, what beer could we put in there? Let's age a fucking whiskey in there, and then let's, you know, after that happens, make a beer, and then barrel age that beer in that whiskey that we created, too, kind of thing. That's pretty a fucking cool idea.
Make furniture out of the barrel when you're done.
And then make furniture out of the barrel, right?
It's going to be a really small chair.
So your cats have a step stool into their potty place.
We got a new place here in town that they decorated with, like, old barrels that have been used already. Hanging all over their place and artwork all over the place. This is cool, man.
Where's that?
What place is that?
Piggy Barbecue, West Fargo. And they got an amazing selection over there.
Piggy Barbecue?
Never heard of it. They originate out of Walker, Minnesota, and they just opened up a location Mother's Day in West Fargo, right on Veterans there.
Man, that's pretty cool.
Check that out.
Huge bourbon selection.
Huh.
So and beers. They have beers, too. Yes.
They have beers, too.
So the consensus so far from these two brewers have been stouts, but
right. Being
at Atypical, you know, they like to experiment with their other stuff, which we really like too. So why don't we get into our first beer of part two here? These next three beers, all in part two, are going to be Drekker's 6-year anniversary beers. These are all barrel aged stouts that they released on their 6-year anniversary.
That's why six is in every fucking name of them.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That makes sense.
I thought Bruce Dickinson autographed every bottle.
Nice. And hey, shout out to Punch Gut for these really awesome labels on these.
Dude,
things.
He's such a fucking stud.
Yep. Man. So this first one is 6 Feet Apart. Let's hear what Tom has to say about 6 Feet Apart. So this beer is 6 Feet Apart, bourbon barrel aged style with toasted coconut, cacao nibs, and Indonesian cinnamon. We stuff this one with a ridiculous amount of toasted coconut that is backed up by a gentle use of locally roasted cacao nibs and Indonesian cinnamon. It's 13% ABV and $18 with tax. What can you tell us about this one there, Tom?
Yeah, so we like most of the time or all the time we write these descriptions, we're not joking. So like when I say a ton, like by weight, it's like 1-to-1 on coconut to beer. So like... Wow. If you were to look at the keg that was in, like, it's all coconut with beer in between. Like, it's completely full of coconut with beer in between. So, yeah, just we took coconut chips and toasted them, hand toasted them, and then added them in. Not as they're warm, obviously, but added those in, and then we used some cinnamon. We have a really cool source for cinnamon. They got like 9 different types of cinnamon, and we were. I got them to send us a sample pack and have found all these cool different like nuances between the cinnamons. You know, one might be warmer. One might be more bordering on that like big red fireball flavor versus like a baking cinnamon kind of thing. So I really like that Indonesian for just like its subtlety. And then the nibs are just anytime you have a barrel aged stout, a lot of the barrels that we're finding are coming off really, really vanilla and cherry and not as much like caramely, chocolate, any of those notes from the bourbon. So I think part of that is due to the base we're using. We're using that the cocoa nibs just to give it more of that like dark chocolate flavor. And the guys that we use, I'm going to butcher the name, it's Terroir.
Yep, you got it right.
Yeah, in Fergus Falls. So those guys are awesome. Like you said, it was in the description, it's fresh roasted. They roasted them like 2 days before and then sent them up to us. So yeah, that's that one's a pretty simple one. We just love, everyone here is obsessed with coconut flavor, and it's just how to get that into a beer. And it turns out you have to use a disgusting amount in the to get that. I mean, it's just a coconut bomb. It's completely, it was insane.
And if you do it right, you do get some of that coconut flavor from the whiskey barrels as well.
Yeah, yep.
All right. So what do you guys get in the nose on this one? I mean, that's crazy, the one-to-one. I mean, they're basically shoving a barrel full of coconut, shaved coconut, and then adding the beer to it.
This is a cinnamon toast crunch with all the coconut.
Yeah?
That's what I smell. I get
with chocolate shavings.
Now, these have been, I've cellared these. These have been conditioned at my house for a little while. So flavors have kind of mellowed into a nicer, more round contrast. What do you guys think on the nose? Just that coconut with cinnamon toast crunch?
That's what I get.
Yeah, that's basically what I get, too. I get it's like a little bit of cinnamon.
Just say, Chris, you're perfect.
Chris, you're an asshole.
What?
But you're a perfect asshole.
Come on.
You're like round.
Completely symmetrical.
Without hemorrhoids.
How do you know?
We've seen the bunghole.
I like the cinnamon part, for sure. Historically, though, I'm not a coconut fan.
No?
I can eat, like, fresh out of a coconut, but, like, you know, give me an Almond Joy or Mounds or something like that. It's nasty crap.
Overprocessed shit.
Yeah, and soaked in corn syrup.
And it should be creamy like that. But you shouldn't get any fucking texture.
But, you know, I don't like coconut, but I could drink this, like, it's not like punching me in the face. It's there. I mean, it's totally there, oh my God, but yeah. Not. It's, I guess it doesn't have the parts of coconut that I don't like.
Which is typically people don't like the texture.
Fibrous, no, more the rash weird. Because I'm allergic to it. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm not allergic.
That makes more sense.
That's what I said. The texture.
The texture.
Your skin's texture after eating coconut is just fucking awful.
Jeez, you become embossed.
I'm tired of rubbing you.
She puts the lotion in the basket.
Puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose again.
No, but this has a wonderful, like, yeah, the coconut's fucking there for sure. But it, the bitterness of the chocolate helps mellow it out, so you get a little bit of that sweeter cinnamon coming through and not that bitterness of the cinnamon.
And it's not like annoying chocolate, you know? Like, you've had bad dark chocolate before. Like, Hershey's Dark is horrible.
Yeah.
But you go buy a decent chocolate bar, and it's got that, you know, oh, this is what I like about chocolate.
Not like, the European chocolate is the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, this is good. I mean, but pouring this out of the bottle is just... Story about a man named Jay.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, it's
thick oil.
Yeah, there's not much head, no head retention, but that comes with these higher ABV beers. It's going to be hard to, have any head when it's anything higher than like a 9. Well,
I know how that feels.
Right. Yeah.
I'm usually higher, and it's hard to get head.
Nice.
I should be an expert on this beer then.
It's good. It's thick. I think I get that cinnamon a little bit more at the end, like as an aftertaste.
Yeah, but it's not that normal. It's that Indonesian.
Right. It's not like super sweet. It's just, there it is. It's just very subtle, very smooth, very rounded, very well.
Yeah, it's a lot of flavors, but it's balanced. It's put together well.
Makes sense.
You've had beers where they try to just put way too much crap in it before.
Oh, yeah.
Kitchen sink here. Well, and
years ago, the Sam Adams triple bock. Remember that one? That blue bottle.
I don't think I ever tried that one. I tried a lot of Sam Adams. But.
Unfortunately, I was catfishing at the time, and it smelled like my bait. Like it was that. I just couldn't even drink it. And then I pointed it.
Shoot up hand?
Somebody's dick!
It sounded like a liar on the internet. Catfish has so many terms now.
Oh, God. All right. Well, what do we got for numbers then, guys?
Oh, geez. 3 3/4.
3.5 for me.
3.5?
I'm going to give it a 4.25.
I like coconut. I thought this was smooth elegance. A little bit too sweet, though, for my liking. Great dessert beer, right? You finish off a meal with this. I don't have a bunch of them, but
they're all good dessert beers.
Overall experience, man, 4.5.
4.5, okay. So, Ernie.
Look, I don't want to be too direct, but this calculator is going up your ass tonight.
Huh. Not again.
Yeah, anyway.
Why'd you smile?
So so the average for the 6 feet apart by Drecker is 4.
4, okay.
Yeah, imagine that.
Was this like just too sweet, or was it too much of that Imperial Stout for you guys? Or?
To me, it was just a bit sweet. Like, I if it was toned back a little bit, maybe had a lot more coconut. No, I mean,
diabetes.
No, it was just a bit sweet. I really liked it though. But
the balance of flavors was good, but it was just a bit too intense. It was too, like, it could have been more subtle.
Well, if we just ate mashed potatoes, gravy, and turkey, and then you had this, and it's the last thing you drink, you'd be like, yeah,
nap time.
But you know, it's a perfect send off. It's really good, but it's not a. It's not like an everyday drinker. It's not a, hey, let's pick up a 12-pack, go hammer these back, and go party.
It's one that if you had in your fridge, you'd be like, okay, this is the occasion for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's an occasion beer.
I can accept that.
And in this occasion?
Well, I think that's why it scores low. It's not something that, you know, low. It's got a 4. It didn't score low at all. It's a great beer. I think why it didn't get higher marks is it just doesn't seem like something that you're going to always grab. This has to have an occasion for it.
And when you barrel age certain things, a certain kind of bourbon ever does kind of impart some of that coconut flavor in it, depending on how much the barrels can swell in and out for temperature variances.
What would you like to eat tonight?
I don't know. What are you feeling?
You know, I could go for burgers or wings. I don't know, maybe even pizza. What are you thinking?
We just had pizza. I don't know.
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, maybe we should look online.
Is what?
It happens in nearly every home in America almost every day. At some point, someone asks, what are we going to eat tonight? Worry not. Fargo Takeout's artificial intelligence robotic chef, the Decisionator, is here to make the choices for you. You'll find its 3 top choices for takeout. If none of the 3 choices sounds good to you, just click the Nope, Try Again button. Even an artificial intelligence robot chef gets it wrong once in a while. The next time your relationship seems strained based upon what's to put on the table, turn to FargoTakeout.com/Decisionator. And remember, save a meal, save a marriage. FargoTakeout.com/Decisionator.
Speaking of argumentative, like how we've been kind of being on this beer, there was been kind of like a...
I don't know that we're argumentative.
There's a little bit of a disparity on... the next question was, how long do you barrel age beers for? And Aaron and Tom had 2 different answers for this question. So let's see what Aaron had to say first.
And I would say the key is getting really good fresh barrels. You get the more dried out the barrel is, I feel like the less flavor you get from it. And also, I think that you get a better barrel character from a younger barrel too. That is to say, like a 3-4 year bourbon versus an 8-12 year bourbon. Because if you think about it, the longer the bourbon sits in the barrel, the more of the barrel flavor the bourbon is going to absorb. If you've got an older bourbon, it's absorbed more of the flavor out of that barrel. The barrel has less to give.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting a 12-year bourbon barrel, you might not have much flavor left in that barrel. If you try and put an Imperial Stout in there and hope that it's going to get enough flavor out of that barrel to stand up to the Imperial Stout, you might not. So,
gotcha. So, yeah, he's
so
3 to 4 months for
I Aaron. Guess to me, the question though is, don't you get more flavors from that bourbon too? Because that bourbon going into the barrel is also imparting flavors into the barrel. No, am I wrong?
Yes, but I think it at a certain point, it can be kind of minuscule, like the difference between the rye and the bourbon.
Right.
It was very minuscule, but they're a bit different whiskeys, but the same barrel.
They were notable differences, right? Mm-hmm. Now, did it change the overall juice that was in there that made us rate it any higher? No, but were they noticeable differences? So, I don't know. That's the question I would have had for him was, you know, depending on what bourbon you already put into that barrel, right? So,
how much does the wood impart flavor onto the bourbon, and how much bourbon imparts flavor into the oak?
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we can look at this fucking shelf back here, chock full of fucking bourbons that all have their own unique taste characteristics, and a lot of them are going to have been aged in the same style of American oak charred barrels, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what it has to be a bourbon. So some of those have to impart a different flavor. Like if we go back and we listen to a previous part on last episode when he was talking about, you know, when we're aging this beer, we wanted to put it in this barrel because it was going to impart the cherry notes and the whatnot. Yep. And we wanted to age this one in this barrel because it was going to give off more of these other notes to it. So I don't know. I think that's really a fucking interesting question. I'd like to dig more into that sometime. I need to corner him and ask him that.
That's creepy.
Maybe for
You're very welcome.
Well, let's see what Tom had to say about the exact same thing about how long they barrel-age beers for.
If he answers this question, I'm going to be blown away.
Let's find out.
So typically this would depend on a couple of factors, mostly the spirit. So like I mentioned earlier that rye tends to be a really aggressive spirit, specifically like you see the Tattersall barrels, that's Tattersall rye, and that's literally we got them the day they bottled it.
Crazy.
Meaning that spirit is really fresh and hot, like for lack of a better, I mean, I'm familiar with that term, but I don't know if everybody, like hot meaning like that kind of, you know, like if you smell the glass of whiskey, it's really warm.
Ethanol,
and, yeah. So things like that might only have to sit 3 months. We've been testing them and finding that's not the case with what we're doing right now. But we've been told by both the distillery and other brewers who've worked with Tattersall that just be careful and make sure you're watching them because they can kind of get too aggressive too fast. Up to things like, you know, like we had an old Van Winkle or old Fitzgerald barrel in here that we're going to let sit a long, long time because it's a crazy spirit that was in there and might as well see what happens with it kind of, but kind of just a tasting game, you know, anywhere from 3 to 18 months. I wouldn't go much past, I don't like to go past 12 just because that's a really long time for just beer to be sitting on top of the fact that who knows what's going to happen after 12 months. I mean, a year is a long time to sit. So yeah.
So your average year is like anywhere between 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly the average. And then, you know, as the blending processes have come about and we're kind of
adapting to them. Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing that more like you might see some barrels that might sit for a little bit longer just because, you know, we have the portfolio now or we have the backlog to have the leeway. But originally we were doing like 16 barrels in every year. Are producing 16 barrels every year, and then those 16 barrels the following year would get emptied. So there's really no play at all. So it was just basically whenever we were releasing Nightman and What Lies Beneath. But now we're going to see a much more consistent stout releases like yearly. So
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I'm glad because they're...
Because you're not.
They're just a lot of work on top of what we already got to do around this place. But
no, I'm
happy to do it, and I'm glad that people like them because... That's the fun part, is making those crazy beers that people are like, how the hell did this happen kind of thing.
So, yeah, difference between 3 to 4 months from Junkyard and 9 to 12 to Drekker. I guess that all just depends on the flavors that they want to pull. I think Aaron does have a point where after a certain point, the flavors that you're going to keep imparting is just going to decrease exponentially with time. And I think Tom alluded to that fact too. Anything over 12 months is just kind of letting it sit there and do nothing much.
Right.
Put it to work.
Aging the beer in that barrel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we go on to this next beer? This next beer is the 6 Feet from Sunday. Let's see what Tom had to say about this beer.
All right, this beer is 6 Ways from Sunday. Bourbon barrel-aged stout with granola, peanut butter, raisins, chocolate, and Madagascar vanilla beans. You might be asking yourself, if you rest a stout on all the ingredients of a monster cookie for a couple weeks, does it actually taste like a monster cookie? The answer is yes. 13% ABV as well, and $18 per 500 milliliter bottle. What can you tell us about this one, Tom?
I can tell you that I hate brewing these beers sometimes.
One really got to you. There's a lot of stuff on this one.
They all get to me, but I love making these beers. We sat down and I was like, and I can't remember who was in the room, and we were just like, you know what sounds good? Let's make a trail mix beer. So we were trail mixed out. May Gorp
be with you.
Well, this was pre-Gorp.
Okay.
and we were like, so let's do all this stuff. So we sat down and we're like, this is good. We know we get good flavor out of our peanut butter. We love our granola that we use and all that stuff. So we're just coming up with this, and then we put it all in the thing, and it's just, I mean, it's, again, just an overindulgent flavor that when it's sitting on there, you're like, nobody's going to want it. It just tastes like liquid. We missed the trail mix mark by a mile, but it tastes exactly like a monster cookie. Like, we should have had someone make monster cookies and do a side-by-side because it was crazy. And just, you know, one of these beers that all the, not one of these, but all of these beers start as, what do you want to make a beer taste like, and how are we going to do that? And I think we definitely, we missed the trail mix, but completely pulled off the monster cookie on this. And that's actually never happened before, where we started with one thing and it turned into something else. Like, surprisingly, that's never happened before. Usually we're actually able to like get the flavor where we want to be, but yeah, just really fun idea to do. And when it turns out like that, it's no matter the process or how long it took you to get there, it just feels good to make what you wanted.
Yeah. So one of the rare times that whoopsies actually turned out really well. So what do you think about that, Chris, about the Gorp?
The whole time I was like, isn't it Drekker that made Gorp? Like, didn't they do the trail mix beer?
Yeah.
So it was them.
This was the first try.
So they made it well, and then they made it bad, and it turned out well. So that's good. What I thought was really different about this is so much more oaty. Oats.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the Oats. Garfield dog.
Yes, right. This is so much more licky dog than the trail mix one than I thought it would be.
Dogs like peanut butter.
Yeah. But I got a ton more oats. So yeah, this does come across as that oatmeal cookie. I got all that flavor right away. I didn't get a bunch of the peanut butter.
I get grape jelly or like raisin.
Mm-hmm. Raisin for sure. But it's oats, raisins, a little bit of chocolate. That's about what I get. I liked the Gorp because of the peanut butter flavor that it had in it, which I generally don't. I like this for its lack of peanut butter flavor.
I get a little bit of that peanut butter at the end. Kind of lingers.
A little bit, yeah. Like for me, this is an absolute get done with a steak dinner, you know, have a couple courses with it, hearty meal. This is an after-dinner drink for
absolutely
me, for sure.
The more I get chocolate.
Well, as soon as, you know, I heard him say, you know, the cookie thing, and I'm just like, wait a minute. And then you say the grape thing, and I'm just like, wait, I got to keep on sipping on this.
It's interesting, the things that you can kind of peel back, especially as it warms up a little bit more.
It's like an orange. The more layers you peel back.
Like all these
only one layer, you weirdo.
I was just watching The New Girl. I love that fucking show. And he's like, you're like an orange with all your layers. She's like, it's an onion. Oranges only have one layer.
Onions have layers.
I get all that. I get that vanilla too in there.
Yeah.
But everything is not overpowering though. There's nothing that's like, bam, this is the majority of the taste. I get a little bit of that vanilla. I get a little bit of that peanut butter. I almost want some more, but I think if if any more of anything would overpower the taste of the other things.
Oh, yeah. It's already potent.
I do wish this was a little less sweet, like I did the other one.
That's kind of what I like about it, though.
Diabetes.
I think it's fairly on par with the last one we had as far as the intensity of the sweetness. This one feels better to me, like with the sweetness to it. But I still wish they were dialed back on both of them.
Okay.
If I had to pair this with a meal, yes, after a steak dinner, this would be great. If I was going to eat this with actual food, smoked like Memphis style ribs, like this would go well, complement that sweetness of the
with a barbecue.
Like I could even see myself marinating some ribs in this.
Fuck yes. And
see, I'd want something spicier to eat because of the sweetness.
Well, some of the good Memphis rub, some of it's going to be spicy.
Some of the barbecue gets a little sweet, but I don't know.
You're thinking Carolina sauce. That's the sweet stuff.
I'm putting extra peanut butter on your rack.
You can put peanut butter wherever as long as it's getting licked off.
I wasn't talking about your ribs.
Jesus.
Funny as ever.
All right.
It's getting saucy.
All right. So on the palate, you get the raisins. Is that one of the things that you guys get? You talking about the grape or? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Tori said grape, but I think he was thinking old grape, which is raisin.
A bit of both.
All right. Let's throw some numbers on this one, guys. Ernie, you start this one out.
4.75.
I'm going to do 4.5 again.
I'm going to do 4.25 on this one.
4.5.
My calculations are perfect this time.
All right, so the average for the six ways from Sunday is 4.5.
I had an old Fayed teacher that had a whole joke wrapped around it ending up to be boobies on the calculator. I don't even remember how it goes. He's
It's like
everybody knows that Dolly Parton's boobs were pop, pop, pop big. And then he was like, but she went in for a breast reduction and they divided it by then they multiplied and whatever. And then it ended up being she also had boobs. And that was the whole joke.
And the funny thing is you can get forever. Arrested for doing that joke as a teacher, as an educator in the public school system nowadays.
Oh, he was a Fayed teacher. He was certainly not an educator.
So he this probably has been arrested then.
I'm sure of it.
The screening process for that position, the standards are way lower.
Wow.
You're about to get hate mail.
Do you know what running is? I do know what running
is. I never give them my mail. They can't get a hold of me. Fuck them.
Let's do question number 9. Ask these guys, what advice can you give a home brewer who would like to barrel age a beer themselves to achieve similar aging results?
And can I sum it up first, though? I bet most of it sums up to stop. We don't want competition.
Nope. That is not what they. Let's see what they said.
That's because as a home brewer, I would just get a solid glass carboy that's not going to let any oxygen in. I would kind of do some reading and some experimentation, and just start with toasted oat cubes or toasted spirals or something like that. Get some char, some char on them, and throw them in the beer, and then sample it. As time goes by, obviously, the more you put in, the quicker it's going to get that flavor. So that's something.
If you want the barrel aging faster,
add more cubes.
If you don't want to wait 3 to 4 months like Junkyard Brewing does, throw more cubes in there.
Throw more cubes. You can get a good. I think. I mean, some people would definitely debate this, but I think you can get a good char barrel flavor out of some high quality toasted cubes or spirals in as little as a month or two if you just add enough.
If you do it right?
Yeah, depending on how you do it, you're not going to get as much tannin flavor, but I don't think a lot of people are really looking for that. They're more so looking for that nice kind of caramel, vanilla, even coconut flavor of charred oak. So just get get the right char level. If you're looking for bourbon flavor, then get a heavy char cube or spiral, pop it in the beer. You don't necessarily, a lot of people will like soak it in actual bourbon before they add it to the beer. I think that's kind of silly because then you're pre-saturating the cubes or spirals and maybe extracting a little bit of their flavor before you introduce them to the beer. If you introduce them dry, the beer is just going to soak in all that much faster, and you're going to get flavor all that much faster.
Gotcha.
You could. I mean, some people would do that just for sanitary reasons. They want it to be sanitary before they put it in their Imperial Stout.
Makes sense.
So.
You all right there, buddy?
Tori fucking leapt at something.
He hit the floor, man.
That's why we can't have nice things.
Did you hit your head so hard you fell to the ground? Or you didn't want to hit your head, so you tripped on something?
This basement was built for Ewoks, I swear to God.
That's why I call it a dungeon. All right, let's see what Tom had to say about homebrewers. One sec. Oh, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Fine. No, I don't know. Maybe Tom answers these questions. This is the first time I'm hearing this stuff, so I have questions. I don't know. Mick, you like drinking whiskey. You may have seen these products that they have charred, like whiskey or barrel sticks. Sticks of wood that you can just throw in a bottle of whiskey and it helps aging process. Which these motherfuckers already bottled their goddamn whiskey. I'm sure this is where they want it drank at. Anyway, right. Have you ever tried anything like that?
I haven't. I've heard about it. I have not ventured into that yet.
Because people tell me that you just, you know, you can put them in your whiskey. So you bought a bad whiskey and you want it to taste a little more like a barrel. So they have sticks you can
right.
put in.
Right. It's kind of like if you make, if you're going to make your homemade apple pie crap, you know?
Right.
Basically a version of German red eye.
So now I could see if you're trying to make a drink.
Yeah.
As opposed, or...
Hey, this tastes like crap. Throw a cinnamon stick in it, you know? Yeah, that's how you treat hot apple pie when you make it wrong.
That's what confused me about him saying, he's like, you can get those toasted cubes, right?
And right, then, or spirals.
Or you make your own, yep. Those spirals, those barrel sticks. And I guess maybe on a small batch level... That makes sense, but you know, at their level, it seemed weird to me. Hey, watch your head nods.
For the guy that has the, you know, the Mr. Beer kid at home, you know, that might work. That might something work. Like that.
They call me Mr. Beer.
And then again, this harkens back to one of the last questions I asked on the previous segment was, we're talking about you're getting these barrels and you don't want them introduced. Like, they were talking about the cubes and, like, some people will soak them in whiskey and then put them in their beer for aging. And it's like, well, do you just want to get the wood flavor out of it? Or do you want... Why are we using bourbon barrels if you don't want to take some of the bourbon flavor from right. the juice that was in there? Because if not, then wouldn't you just age the beer in like you would a bourbon in a new charred oak barrel by itself? And then let it take on the properties of the wood and the oak as opposed to using something that was already had a bourbon in it. I think you want to impart the bourbon along with the wood.
I think, but at the same time, he's answering a question of somebody who's trying to get started.
Right.
You know, and those guys that have the Mr. Beer kits, they're idiots. I keep mine in the garage. No, I keep mine in the garage when I'm not using it.
So you're not an idiot.
No, I am an idiot. I have one.
No, but you haven't used it.
Oh, I have.
Like, yeah. I'm staving off idiocism.
No, I am an idiot. That's not a big surprise. Not you know me for years.
I believe it's pronounced idiot.
ID 10 key.
Idiot.
The ID 10 key, yes. With the Ebkecker.
Nice.
No, like for something, if you just have the capacity in your apartment, say, and you're just going to use the Mr. Beer kit or the small kit like that, and you're just trying to experiment with some of these flavors, again, this was an advice to a homebrewer who would like to start
right.
with this type of flavor. Figure out what you like, what you don't like. And then, you know, get more serious about it. Then go ahead and buy your own barrel for all I care.
But that's what I'd like to – I'm just saying these are one of the questions I would have had asked him. And now I'm going to have to look these guys up and ask them these questions. It's like, why – if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you soak this oak that you're going to put into your beer? Why wouldn't you soak them in a bourbon first so you can impart some of that bourbon flavor as well as the oak? I don't know. Just my question.
I think Aaron – sort of answer that because if you soak it with bourbon, then the beer can't soak into the wood itself and impart the flavors of the wood. I think Aaron appreciates the flavor of the wood more than.
So the question is then why not buy new?
Because it's second use. You're not getting too much char, not getting too much wood. It's like when you go down and you want to do third use or fourth use, by that time you're just storing stuff.
So then you could do a lesser char on the barrel.
Maybe.
Right. And then use it new. Yeah. That's just questions. That's just where my brain
went. If you're using new, though, the wood hasn't soaked it all up, it's not going to seal correctly, you know?
Well, you still condition it.
It won't get swollen.
Right. We talked about that in the first part. Thanks for playing.
Sorry.
Well, let's see what Tom has to say.
Come on, Tom.
Yeah, so I think starting with a beer that you're proud of, like before it goes in the barrel, is super important. We're doing so few stout releases, like at all, that barrel aging just makes sense for us because we're pushing out so many different other beers every release the stouts have to take a while to sit anyways. If you were gonna not barrel age something, that it just makes more sense for us to barrel age them. But you know, play around with it, like. Do some side-by-sides, do a stout that you really love, brew it again, split it into a barrel. Depending on the size of batch that you're working with, you know, I know a lot of guys are on like 5-gallon batch systems. You can get 5-gallon little mini barrels. So they look exactly like a regular barrel. They're just a mini version of that. I know Far North does that kind of thing, or makes those barrels, as well as, I believe, Tattersall. But you could look for something like that if you're looking to be like, really into it. I don't even know what that kind of stuff cost. I mean, I can tell you that a bourbon barrel itself is $300-$400, depending on the spirit. So I don't know if that's in the budget for a home brewer to get one of those smaller ones, which I don't think they're going to be $400, but otherwise you can look at doing, like, people have you can buy a stave that was a whiskey barrel stave. You can buy chips. You know, we've done casks before when casks were still kind of a thing. We've done casks where we wanted to get like an oaky bourbon character. So we just bought, like, you can buy spirals or chips
or cubes.
Cubes where you could soak those in a spirit that you really love for a while, take them out, let them kind of stay damp, but don't like dry out, and then throw those in the beer. All that sort of stuff. I mean, barrel aging, I mean, we have a little tiny barrel back there right now that is just sitting with some crazy bacteria in it to just get a weird thing just that we're trying for that sour program. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. Other than that, it's scary. I mean, we've done it a lot of times, so we know. But if you're going to let something sit for 6 to 12 months, you're going to really want to make sure it's good. So just
airtight.
Yeah. And be as clean as possible. And I would suggest if you're using any aftermarket or like chips or anything like that, hit it with some boiling water quick. Or if you find one of those little barrels, you know, maybe just hit it with boiling water. We used to do that when we would reuse barrels. We would just do like a boiling water bath inside, swish it around a little bit, let the steam build, dump it, which on a side note is one of the most delicious smells you could ever smell in a brewery. It's just like warm whiskey notes smell like wafting through the brewery.
Mm.
but something like that, just as, you know, as anything with beer. And if you're going to be doing it at home, just do it like you would do it, like a brewer does it, like be as diligent as you can with your note taking and things like that. The cleaner you make the beer going in, the better it's going to taste. So.
Yeah.
So he recommends soaking a little bit for the home brewers, just to get that little bit of a bourbon taste. So let's get on to this last beer of part two of the bourbon over the barrel age series. And this one is the 6 Feet Under. Let's see what Tom had to say about this one. All right. This one is the 6 Feet Under bourbon barrel age stout with Madagascar, Mexican, and Indonesian vanilla beans. With complete disregard for moderation and restraint, we conditioned 6 Feet Under on an outrageous 4+ pounds per barrel of Madagascar, Mexican, and Indonesian vanilla beans. Richness abounds and is blended ever so smoothly with this already supple barrel-aged stout. This one is 13% ABV as well, and $24 for 500-milliliter bottle. What can you tell us about this one, Tom?
Yeah, so same thing, just overindulgence, I guess, is the name of the game when we make these, because like four pounds of vanilla beans is like $1,500. Like, that's a lot. It's a lot of money. So yeah, again, kind of same thing as the cinnamon, finding these beans that we can source, and just all three of those varieties of vanilla give completely different flavors. So you're looking at, you know, that Madagascar is like the gold standard for, that's where, you know, if you got an extract, it's 99% it's Madagascar vanilla. Really caramely, that baking flavor. Mexican being a little more smoky, that tobacco flavor. And then that Indonesian is just like a really, really good backer for all those. So it's just like all the good notes of vanilla that you hit with a little bit of cherry, and then it just kind of backs up those other ones. And when you use vanilla in that amount, it's just stupid. It's like, it's not even good when it's sitting on the vanilla. Like you have to, it doesn't sit for very, like typically you would be aging on vanilla for a long, long time, just a lower amount. It doesn't even sit that long just because there's so much flavor coming off of it. It's going to sound
almost overwhelming.
It smells like Carmex. And that's what one of our brewers always says to me. She's just like, it smells like Carmex. I don't even want to try it. I'm like, I know that, but like, yeah. So, and get to the end of the day, it sits in the bottle after it's off those vanilla beans. And it's just this great, sweet, incredibly smooth vanilla character with like a lot of nuance. Kind of one that's just fun to, a beer like that's fun to take an ingredient like vanilla that's crazy and got a lot of varieties and just kind of see what you can get for complexity out of it.
Carmex, that's a weird kind of note off that one.
I didn't get it. I didn't get Carmex.
Well, that's when that's in the brewery because it's sitting so strong. When they move it out, then it's different.
Didn't get it.
So what do you guys get in the nose of this one? Is this as vanilla as I think it is?
I get definitely a little bit more vanilla out of the aroma.
I haven't even taken a sip yet, and I can... Ooh. It's there. So I love that smell.
But it's like
this is awesome.
It's like a warm vanilla, though. It's an inviting vanilla. It's okay, so the other
like
ones
a New York vanilla candle.
The other ones I haven't liked because they were too sweet. And when you hear, oh, it's all vanilla, you're like, eh, this motherfucker's going to be sweet.
It's not a cream soda.
And I don't get as much sweetness off of it, like an overpowering sweetness. Man. And when he said smoky, I'm like, that's what that is.
Oh, it's sexy. I'm enjoying the aroma of this so much, yeah. I still haven't even taken a sip of it, to be honest.
It's very much your favorite vanilla candle.
I'm on my sixth glass already.
Yeah, and New York vanilla, what is that? Like sewer rats and vanilla? What is it?
A little more STD.
That smells like shame.
I think this might be a vanilla beer that Chef would really like.
Dude, there's a little muted chocolate in it, but like the chocolate, there's like a bitterness that pulls the sweetness away that makes this really delightfully creamy. Smoky and otherwise
you laughing
just
at me?
Absolutely drinkable.
No, I was just...
We should get a Lazy Susan.
Yeah, I was just telling you, shoot a Lazy Susan in the middle of this thing.
Why? We're all lazy.
We can zip the beers to the other side of the table quickly.
What's wrong with Lazy Joe?
Tori, what do you think about this one?
I fucking dig it.
Ugh. Yeah?
I want to take a shot of Mezcal and then finish with this.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I know I'm not wrong.
Good 1-2 punch there.
I don't think there's a poor occasion for this.
That might actually make me like Mezcal better.
This is, again...
I'm a huge Mezcal fan.
I would like this to be a little less sweet, but
yeah.
It's fucking really good.
I don't think it's as sweet as the Six Ways from Sunday, though.
Correct.
I think it's just a little less sweet.
I think this is the least sweet of all of them.
I think that's just a property of vanilla in general, you know? It's not like it's overly sugary, and they didn't add cocoa to it, or at least not a lot. I think that's just a property of vanilla.
Yeah, this is really fun.
So, when they say Mexican and Indonesian vanilla beans, so what's the difference between those and...
Man. Location!
Yeah, it's like...
Did Juan Valdez pick these vanilla beans when he was picking the Folgers?
No, I mean, if you listened...
Totally different fields.
It was the Mexican with the smoky.
Right, a little smoky.
Yep. And then the Indonesian is more that, like, all around brings everything else up in the forefront. Kind of a drier.
You seriously could make, like, an ice cream base and use a different vanilla in the exact same, you know, divided base and taste, and it's all going to be different. That's the beauty of vanilla and where you get it. This is really nice. I like this a lot. I would cook with this vanilla that they have. I heard they have a little bit of it laying around now that might taste like beer. That would make a good ice cream. I'm just saying.
Nope. Yeah, we did a Guinness ice cream once.
I've done that.
Man,
yeah.
That's good.
All right. What do you got for numbers, guys? Who wants to start this one off?
5.25.
Seems fair.
I like 5.25.
Tori's got a 5.25 as well.
Well, I guess if we're going this direction, we'll make Ernie last. I'm going to do 5 point deuce on the 5. Also, this is fucking good.
Yeah, Ernie's still over there figuring out if he's left-handed or right-handed, so.
Right?
Left.
Depends on how I...
Correct.
I'm going to give it a 5. So the average for the 6 feet under by Drecker is 5.1875.
Wow. Skid is nice.
Beautiful. Nice. So that is good for first place on part two, as and well as first place for the part one. As
and
well.
I agree with it. That was my favorite. That was probably my favorite beer
so far. So
I rated it the same as the king size for absolutely different reasons.
I would literally dump this on vanilla ice cream and eat it.
I would dump on you and eat vanilla ice cream.
and then eat it.
Nope. Just the ice cream.
I need to run out to my car and get my wallet.
I made $8!
All right, that was great. I deserve one of those. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Bridgeview Liquors in Moorhead. With an impressive supply of craft beers, wines, and spirits, Bridgeview Liquor offers the best variety in Fargo-Moorhead. Not only do they have the best array of alcohol, they also are the most conveniently located liquor store in South Moorhead. Find them off of I-94 and A Street Moorhead in the Hornbacher's building on 37th Avenue. For the month of November, all Smoking Loon wines are $2 off, and Bent Paddle 6-packs are $2 off, and Bent Paddle 12-packs are $3 off.
For the week of November 9th, they have a Shvedka Vodka 1.75 for $14.99. That's a pretty decent vodka. They have a 12-pack of Angry Orchards for less than $15. Save $3 there. And the Franzia.
Hans and Franzia?
Hans and Franzia.
from $11.99 to $14.99. You save at least $3 there.
I love my box wines.
I think they're good.
Dude, rip them out the box and slap the bag. And if you're going to do that, you can from the 16th through the 22nd, they have the black box wines for like, $17. That's like $5 off. That's a good one. That's a good bag slapping boxed wine. Also, some of my favorite stuff, though. What I'm doing now is just watching YouTube videos of live performances and drinking Morgan Diets. I feel like I'm partying. And you can get those for $20.99. You save $4. Or Tito's Vodka 175s are $29.99. Save $5.
For the week of November 23rd to the 29th, you can get Miller Lite 24 packs and 12-ounce cans. $2.50 off. You can get White Claw 12 packs for $3 off for only $13.99. A New Amsterdam Vodka and Gin, $4 off for $16.99.
Head on down to Bridgeview Liquors, mention Brews, Booze, and Reviews, and you'll save 10% off all purchases.
So head on over to 935 37th Avenue South in Moorhead, or call Bridgeview Liquors at 218-477-6162. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9:55 p.m., and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 5:55 p.m. All right. Well, we got one final question for part two. And that question was, what do you do with the barrels when you are done with them? I think it's one of the important questions that I wanted asked. Let's see how they answer.
If it's not lick, it's wrong.
Let's find out.
Sometimes we will reuse them. Like you could put another round of beer in the same barrels, but you're going to get less barrel character from it every time you use it. So some people will... some people will use them for like a bourbon barrel for barrel aging imperial stouts, and then they'll go to something a little mellower like a brown ale, and then they'll, after the brown ale, they'll go, it doesn't have much bourbon character left, I'm going to turn it into a sour barrel, and they'll just rinse it out and turn it into a mixed culture sour barrel at that point, because they're not, with that they're looking for the environment of the wood barrel versus the flavor from the barrel. And you're going to get a little tannin, as I said earlier, from long-term aging. But yeah, they'll kind of recycle barrels that way. We don't really do a whole lot of that because we'll order some barrels, and maybe we'll have one, or we try to have extra, because obviously you want to have extra barrels versus extra beer. Mm-hmm. What do you do with extra? What are you going to do with extra beer? Oh, we ran out of barrels. I guess we'll just pour this beer down the drain.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
We don't have any plan for it at this point. Or package it. But usually we've done the packaging first. So we've packaged as much beer as we want to package, and then we're putting the rest in barrels. We don't want to wind up with extra beer, so we typically have extra barrels. So the extra barrel will be kicking around the brewery for a couple of weeks, and then we'll we'll usually do a little one-off experiment with it, or we'll put some mixed culture sour into it or something like that. And then so a couple of those recently we've reused a couple times, but generally we'll just sell them when we're done with them. After the first round of barrel aging, we'll sell them off.
Sell them just to private customers, or do you sell them back to some distilleries?
No, we just put – distilleries don't want them unless you're doing like – unless it's Jameson and they want to do the
bravo to them, by the way,
cask mates or whatever they call it. But yeah, generally distilleries aren't going to want them. American distilleries, because they're looking maybe a gin or a different spirit that's not looking for bourbon kind of character. If they're not looking for barrel, that char character, then they might want that. I don't know. There's all kinds of people doing all kinds of things out there, so I can't speak for all of them. But in general, we just put a post up on our social media and say, hey, we got 12 barrels. I don't know, $100 a pop, $80 a pop, whatever we're deciding to sell them for. And then they usually go pretty quick because they're nice barrels. They're in good shape. They just had a batch of Imperial Stouts in them, so they're all nice and tight. A home brewer could grab them and use them for something. I wouldn't recommend it unless it's going to be a sour. I'd recommend them more for decoration or furniture at that point.
So, God damn it.
I whoopsie whoopsie daisy.
So what he did mention was, you know, after second, third use, barrels really don't have much more characteristic to add to anything flavorful for a beverage.
Sounds like marriages.
Oh. After your third marriage,
tell my first wife that's correct.
But after a couple of uses, it was really you're just kind of storing it. Why store it in something that can swell and leak air and just. So yeah, that's his opinion. Let's see what Darren had Tom had to say about
it's
it.
Why it's why I only tell people 3-4 secrets. I don't want them to swell and leak.
Oh, gross.
Speaking of leak.
All right, let's see what Tom has to say.
So after they're emptied, once the sour program kicks off, Logan's going to kill himself if he doesn't get access to every barrel we ever empty. He just, like, it hurts him on the inside to lose these things because they're oak, that they can be used. Right now, though, we're just, once they get emptied, we give them a quick rinse out, and then we're just selling them to people who want them.
Mainly for decoration?
I think that's what people use them for. I know a couple of our brewers have taken them home or like gotten them for a father-in-law or whatever for Christmas and things like that. And we just tell people not to put beer in them because like we don't want you to come back and be like, hey man, I use your barrel for beer and it got all gross. And it's like, well,
it's not our fault.
We want the deniability there. But I mean, if you knew what you were doing and like knew some barrel processes and well had 53 gallons of liquid to barrel age, you could definitely reuse them. But right now, yeah, they basically get sold. Cause I mean, they're cool pieces too. Like it's a really cool to have like a bourbon barrel in your, I don't know, man cave.
Yeah.
People do a lot. I think a friend of mine's dad wanted to make Adirondack chairs out of them. And I was kind of skeptical of it just because you'd have to seal those things up real good to get the stuff out. But yeah, nothing crazy.
Well, that answers that question.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. So it's more or less after it leaves a brewery at that point, there's not much more use other than decoration.
Like a third marriage.
Yeah. beer kind of ruins wood and love.
I have always kind of wanted to make a nightstand out of a,
love
out of a barrel,
out of love,
or two. I think that'd be dope.
No, I think the tables. I've seen it where they've kind of been cut in half and kind of turned into a single seater chair. So like the bottom half of the barrel is sitting up, and then the bottom that you cut off turns into the back, and it's cool.
Oh, those great hand motions are great for an audio format.
Yeah.
I was getting kind of turned on.
So if you look at figure A, oh, this is going to go over great.
I said bottom upside down.
All right, what do you guys think about the episode so far?
I've enjoyed it. I think Audible IKEA instructions are shit.
IKEA. I kill you.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I saved a little sip of all three of those so I could let it come down in temperature a little bit.
Well, look at you. Weird. I did that earlier too, but then I drank them. I made several notes though in my brain.
I followed Chris.
In my brain.
Okay, Mick, what do you get off of a little bit warmer?
Still good.
It is. I think I enjoy it. Well, going to the first one, second one. I enjoy it a little bit more, honestly. It's that full mouth thing, like what we creamier. Talked about last week, you mm-hmm. know, after, you know, it warms up a little bit.
I think it warms up to it. It gets a better mouth feel, too, with totally. All the different flavors in there.
Let's go back to my favorite here. Yeah, totally. I would let these sit out a little bit before drinking them, for sure. Sorry.
I think that's important, too, with, like, for me, again, a typical stout. Yeah, I call things floor beers, but typically it's only like things I'm going to drink like right now. I'll let sit out a while, right? So if I'm going to drink any of these, I'm going to take it out and set it on the counter right away. Like right when I get home from work, I'm going to set it on the counter. Then I'm going to go make food, make dinner, make that stuff. Then I'm going to go
Easy
and
Mac
open
only
it.
Takes 3.5 minutes.
Yep. Sometimes it only sits out 3.5 minutes, man. Like, but I'm going to let it sit out a little bit and then pour it. Like I do a wine, right? Anytime we drink wine too. I'm not real picky. I sound like I make all these fucking rules and it's like really hard to just hang out and drink.
No, these are all personal preference you come up with in your head, but now you have a chance to vocalize.
So like when I know we're going to make a meal, you know, it's like, oh, food's going to be ready in 45 minutes. Okay, I'll pop open a bottle of wine. I'll let it sit out for a little bit. And I'll drink a fucking Coors Light while this happens. Or I'll take out a fucking London Fog by Atypical. I've got one left in it. It's the saddest day. Anyway, but
there'll
you know,
more,
that's
there'll be more here in that fridge next week.
That's how I do things, you know, red wines. I'm going to open up a little bit. If I'm drinking a barrel-aged thing, I'm gonna open it up, pour it in a glass. Then I'm going to go take a shit. Change clothes, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to come back to it in a little bit.
Notice why, washing your hands was not in
Why
there
are
at
you
all.
Changing clothes after you take a shit?
That was a pretty,
you get some
he shits like, oh, or something.
Dude, it's a disaster.
Is it a process?
I was like, born with bifurcated anuses.
Looks like somebody spray painted a Buick.
Somebody Google that real quick.
Right? Like, by what?
Bifurcated anuses.
Bifurcated means two of. Split in the middle.
Two anuses?
Right?
Beautiful.
We looked that up when
looks
we were
like
talking
an inverted
we
nostril.
We used to talk about bifurcated penises all the time, Tori, and you know it.
I just so not willing to air that though.
Well,
that was a private wondered. Conversation.
Did you guys ever go ahead, Ernie?
I was gonna say, Chris, you know, we've talked about floor beers before. It's been a while, but I'm like, I've always wondered how did the whole floor beer thing started? Was it just because you
straight laziness.
Fell down on the floor and nope. when you opened your eyes, there's a beer?
No, it was just lazy. Actually, it was sometimes no room, right? There's no room to throw the beers in unless you take them out of the case and you have to place it. Fuck it. Just set the beer down
Make
on your
toys.
Floor. And you open it up and you drink it, and it's not that fucking bad. It brings out more flavors. It makes things a little foamier.
Yeah, a little foamier. Okay, we'll go. With
mean
that
a little
one.
Foggier in your head.
No, my nickname in high school is Little Foamy.
No, you go,
bring
you
up
go
the floor on. Beers again later. I got some good stories for you guys. But did you guys anybody have like a favorite stout? Like they. Like one of your first ones that you went, hey, I really like this. That was kind of your benchmark that you would go to.
Well, we talked about this on one of probably the first, in the first three or four episodes, probably. I brought Black Butte Porter.
You brought that on Basics, number one.
Yeah.
But we did ones. Porters versus Stouts on episode two.
Yeah.
Or was that Bourbons?
Bourbons was episode two.
Then Porters, and
Porters
was three.
And one of my all-time favorites, though, would be Great Northern Porter. It's always been really good.
One of my personal
Summit Oatmeal Stout.
Yeah, I don't think so. They don't make a bad beer, in my opinion.
They're They're always solid as shit.
And I feel the same way about the Rogue Company, personally. Really? And so the Rogue Shakespearean Stout was kind of my benchmark.
Never had it.
I have a lot of books, like beer writing guides, before like this internet thing was happening.
Books I wrote.
I know.
Like, those are journals. And nobody fucking cares.
Dear Diary.
Not, but one of the top rated ones.
Dear Diary, Mick likes beer. Yay, my second testicle dropped. I've been writing these since last year.
No, a gentleman by the name of Michael Jackson, no joke. He was, you know, a very famous guy who loved beer. He's passed away since then. And then, anyway, I was reading some of these books, and
he
that's where
black,
I discovered.
He was in white.
That's where I discovered. That's where I discovered these guys talking about that Rogue Shakespearean Stout. And I know you can get it here in town. You know, it's going to be a slightly bigger bottle like those. And that really became my benchmark of like, holy crap, this is great. You could pair this with any meal, no joke. Be it fish, hamburger, whatever. It's just, it's really good. I recommend trying it.
Moose knuckle.
My favorite stout right now, I think, is unless I try it again, I have it in there. It's the Firestone Walker.
The Firestone Walker. You love that shit.
Nice. I haven't tried that.
Well, we're going to try it in April.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to bask in my glory. Hopefully, I don't fuck that up.
420.
Oh, you probably
will. We're just planning this huge 420 party, and I'm super excited.
So why don't we just close out part two? Mick, where can they find you at? MickKlein.com?
MickKlein.com.
Spell that out.
Under every dirty rock. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, man.
Yeah. No, I am I'm a musician. I do a lot of solo work. I do have bands here in town as well, but with the state of things, I've been doing a lot of solo work. That's it's a lot easier to plan around. MickKlein.com, MickKlein.com. You can find me on Facebook. I do actually have a YouTube channel with some of my quarantine show stuff with clips on there now.
Oh, right on.
Thanks to my webmaster, Jeff Mertis.
What's the YouTube?
Just go to MickKlein.com. There's a link right on there.
Okay, perfect.
In other words, that's me saying I don't remember what the YouTube is.
Well, no, we don't.
Well, my webmaster set it up for me. The same gentleman that runs FargoBands.com, Jeff.
Oh,
Curtis.
Jeff, yeah.
Yeah, great guy. The guy is, he's cool as hell. And I appreciate his support.
I know him from a long time ago. He's a wonderful person.
Yep. It looks like you're at Fargo Bands and Mick Klein Quarantine Show Q&A and Storyteller 0404-2020.
Yeah. We have all sorts of that stuff on there. So, oh, geez, you found some old stuff
Mick
on there.
Mick Klein, Wicked Games from 9 years ago.
That was at JT Cigarro, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, this TV show got a hold of me, and they wanted me to audition singing karaoke. And I'm like, I don't do fucking karaoke, man, but I got a gig tonight. I can record one of the songs. And then I didn't get picked for the show, but my bandmate, Cassandra May, did, and she ended up winning the whole goddamn thing.
What?
Oh, yeah. She won Karaoke Battle USA. It was a TV show.
Who's Cassandra May?
And she ended up going and representing the United States and Ireland for the World Championship, and she won the whole damn thing.
Fuck yeah. Cassandra May.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sexual chocolate. This boy's good. I like this.
Sexual chocolate. Sexual
chocolate. This boy's good.
I believe the children are future.
Teach them well. They're coming out with a second coming.
This has been a Predicate Productions episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews. For more information, head over to brewsboozeandreviews.com. Special thanks to our sponsors for supporting our podcast. You too can support our show by supporting them. You can also click the link at the bottom of our episode description and donate to help with production costs and beer for our fridge to review for you. And of course, thanks to you, our listeners and neighbors, without whom this podcast couldn't happen. And to you, we say,
May your glasses be full and your spirits high. Cheers!